Ephesians chapter number 3 tonight, verse number 20, the Bible said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Pray with me a moment. Father, thank you tonight for the scripture. Thank you, Lord, for our Savior tonight, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the saints of God tonight, Lord, that have gathered for prayer meeting in the middle of the summer. And Lord, I know that many are traveling, many are doing different things, many are not well. But Lord, you knew before the foundation of the world who would be here tonight. And I'm asking you, God, to make this pastor a blessing to these precious people. Make the Word of God alive and real to us tonight. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd strengthen us, Lord, in these days. In thy name we pray. Amen and amen. On last Wednesday night, we got started a little bit in chapter number 1 of the book of Ephesians. And we're talking about the emphasis in the believer's life. Many times, if not most of the time, we put the emphasis on the blessing. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we need to understand that God, in chapter number 1 of the book of Ephesians, is putting an emphasis on the blesser, the one that gives us the blessing. I thought about some things today, and the Word of God said here are all spiritual blessings. And, you know, we know that. But most of the time when we're talking about a blessing, you know, we might say, well, God blessed us with a home, or God blessed us with good health. I'll never forget Brother Brian saying to us over and over in Sunday school, his mama said, "Son, your health is your wealth." I'll never forget that statement, amen. And or God has blessed me with a good job. How many made statements like that? God's blessed me with a good wife. God's blessed me with some precious children. God's blessed me with some precious grandchildren. But I want to say tonight, I was just thinking today, and you know, my health may not always be good, but God will always be good. You know, I stand here tonight, and as far as I know, I better not hear no amen over there. As far as I know, my marriage is in good shape. But you know, there's people right here in our community, their marriage is falling apart. Then God at one time maybe blessed them with a good marriage, but now that don't mean God ain't good. Say amen. What I'm trying to get you to see is the blessings from time to time change, amen, but the blesser is the same yesterday and today and forevermore, amen. And so I thank God tonight. We begin to look at some statements in the book of Ephesians in chapter number 1. And we begin to look at statements like his will in verse number 9 and in verse number 11. And then we looked at the statement, his grace. In other words, it's not so much about us. One thing I appreciate about Brother Rodell standing here tonight, he bragged on the grace of God. He wasn't standing here saying, "Look at me." But he was standing here both in song and in testimony saying, "It's him." Amen. It's him. We've got a church started here. We've got a church started here. Did you hear what he said? 70 to 100 people. Honey, that's awesome. Say amen. In a nation, you know, you and I both know this tonight. Religion will never satisfy the heart of man. It's going to take a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And listen, beloved, even the Baptists, we can't, beloved, supply that relationship. People got to be born again. They can't just join a Baptist church. They've got to be saved by the grace of God in order to have that relationship with the Lord Jesus. I want you tonight to look at the next phrase. Remember, I told you, I don't know if you did it or not, but you can take your Bible and you can look at his.
And you can underline where it says his in chapter number 1 of the book of Ephesians. And tonight we come not only his will, that's the blesser, not only his grace, that's the blesser, but beloved, his blood. Look in verse number 7 tonight. The Bible said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. You know, we've already talked about his grace a little bit, but tonight I want to talk for just a little while about his blood. I believe, listen, a lot of religions call on you, beloved, to give your life for that religion. But beloved, we have a relationship with Jesus knowing that he gave his life for us. And beloved, listen, I'm not going to give my life for the Lord, amen, but I'm going to give my life to the Lord. That's that dedication, amen, that we can give our life. He has died for us, and the very least we can do is live for him, amen. And I want you to see some things about his blood tonight. And I thank God for the blesser. That never changes. And it's about his blood. Number one, his blood is precious blood. These are things tonight that I think some are going to be familiar with you. But I believe tonight we need to review a little bit. The Bible said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. I looked up in the Greek language today, and that word precious comes from a word timios, and it means costly. Oh, beloved, listen, for you and I, salvation is free, but I want you to know it cost our Lord his life. It cost our Heavenly Father his Son. Amen. And beloved, it's costly. It means honored. It means esteemed. It means beloved. It means dear. It means honorable. More precious. Most precious. I thank God tonight for the precious blood of Christ. The Word of God said, beloved, it's without blemish and without spot. That brings me to the next thing in the message tonight. Not only is his blood precious blood, but his blood is pure blood. That's what's different, beloved, about our Savior. He wasn't born of the seed of the man the way that you and I are, but he was born of the seed of the woman. And the blessed Holy Ghost came down. He was pure in his birth. He was pure, beloved, in his life. He was pure in his death. No wonder Pilate could look at him and say, I find no fault in him. Oh, beloved, listen, even Judas, when he betrayed him, he said it was innocent blood. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, thank God the blood of Jesus is precious. But thank God tonight it's pure. This outfit in Hollywood that wants to try to portray Jesus as having some kind of a wicked thought. I'm telling you, beloved, one old preacher had it right years ago. He said it's not Hollywood, it's Hellawood. That stuff's coming right out of hell. Amen. I'm telling you, our Savior never thought an unclean thought. He never did an unclean deed. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And beloved, listen, that's what makes him qualified to be the Savior in the Philippines and the Savior in the United States of America and the Savior even in Washington, D.C. I'm telling you, beloved, my God can make a difference in people's lives. It's pure blood tonight. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. I'm glad Jesus, beloved, listen, they didn't take his life, but he offered his life, and he offered it without spot, without blemish to God. Amen. His blood is pure blood. The next thing I have on my heart tonight, not only is it precious blood and it's pure blood, but it's his blood, beloved, that gives us access into the holiest of all. Brother Steve, we'd be wasting our time to beckon people to come around an altar, to beckon people to pray to the God of heaven if it hadn't have been for the blood of Jesus Christ that was running down on that old rugged cross. I'm telling you, beloved, it was there that God rent the veil in twain, and he tore it from top to bottom and gave us access. The Word of God said, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in to the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. When you and I bow our heads and pray, the only way that God can hear that prayer is because somebody opened up the door and somebody gave us access into the holiest of all. And that somebody was the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus. Amen. His blood gives us access. Then I don't know about you. I've been saved since 1987. But I thank God for this next thing. I'm talking about his blood. You see, that's putting the emphasis, beloved, not on the blessing, but that's putting the emphasis on the blesser. Listen, I didn't shed my blood for him. He shed his blood for me. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, his blood gives us access. But listen to this next thing. His blood cleanses us. Now listen to me tonight. Not just the sinner that needs to be saved. And that's very important. They must come, beloved, by faith. Jesus said, except you eat my flesh, drink my blood. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, beloved, by faith, the sinner must receive that payment that was made on Calvary. But I'm going to tell you something else tonight. When the saints of God get sideways, when we need to be forgiven of some sin in our life, the Word of God said, beloved, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Aren't you glad tonight? Thank God, beloved, listen, that when we get sideways with God, beloved, we can get straightened out because there's that blood that's been applied on a mercy seat, so we can get on our knees and say, oh God, I've messed up. Have mercy on me. And God will have mercy on our never-dying soul. Amen. Thank God tonight. Listen for the blood. It's his blood. It's his blood. It's the blesser that we need to concentrate on. His blood cleanses us, but then his blood brings us near. You see, there was a great old big gap between me and him. The Bible talked about over there in hell, there was a gulf. And, but beloved, that was before Jesus was raised from the dead. There was a great gulf fixed. But I'm going to tell you something, beloved, listen. There was a greater gulf between us and him. Our sin separated us from the Savior. You say, Pastor, what did the blood do? Ephesians 2 and verse number 13. Excuse me. The Bible said, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off. Whoa, glory to God. I want you to think about this tonight. I think about these young men tonight. And when I was their age, I was far off. I didn't know God. Beloved, listen to me. I did not have peace in my heart. I didn't know what it was to have that guilt washed away and that shame washed away. I can remember as a young man, I can remember being far off. I can remember those years of church membership. Beloved, when some seemed so close, and yet I knew I was far off. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? Listen to what the Word of God said. But now in Christ, ye who sometimes were far off. You say, Pastor, how did you get nigh? How did you get near? How did you get in? The Word of God said we're made nigh by the blood of Christ. Oh, hallelujah tonight. What a Savior that would give his life for you and give his life for me. And we no longer have to stand afar off. He's said, come here, boy. Come here, boy. You're welcome in my presence. Amen. And thank God tonight, it's all because of his blood. Not some church, not some denomination, not some religion, not some pastor, not somebody with their collar turned around backwards, but his blood made it possible, beloved, for you and I to be brought near. Then his blood purchased us. Listen to what the Word of God said in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 12. I just want to say tonight, I don't think there's enough emphasis in our day put on Him. Oh, that everything, every program under the sun, every plan under the sun. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like the person. I'll tell you, Brother Rodell, listen, you did a beautiful job singing that song. But I don't know who wrote that song, but whoever wrote that song did a beautiful job saying, don't look here, look there. I want to tell you not how great I am, but I want to tell you how great He is. I tell you, if we want God to bless our church, let's go out of here not talking about a great church, but a great Savior that gave His blood and shed His blood for you and for me. Notice what the Bible said, Hebrews chapter number 9, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now listen, I won't fall out with you over this. Years ago, there was an argument, so to speak, about the literal blood of the Lord Jesus. I'm not going to fall out with you, but I believe there's a reason that Jesus told Mary, touch me not. I've not yet ascended to my Father. Oh, glory to God, I believe, beloved. Listen, the Word of God teaches us in the book of Hebrews that everything you see, beloved, in that Old Testament is a type of that which is in heaven. I believe there's a literal, real mercy seat in heaven. And I believe our Lord and our Savior carried that blood, real, literal, and sprinkled that mercy seat. And sinners have been calling on Him ever since and being saved by the grace of God. Because of the mercy seed that's been sprinkled. His blood purchased us. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Therefore, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Let me say this to you tonight. This will help you, which He purchased with His own blood. Beloved, listen, this church don't belong to me. It don't belong to you. The church of Jesus Christ belongs to Him. He purchased it with His own blood. We ought to take a great deal of stock and peace in that tonight. You say, Pastor, this world's upside down. You say, Pastor, what in the world's going to happen to the church? I tell you what's going to happen, beloved. The true church of the living God's going out of here. Amen. And the true church of the living God will be here when Jesus comes. We may not be able to meet publicly, but we'll meet some way. Say amen. I believe we'll have our Bible. And beloved, listen, if they take it, maybe we got enough of it memorized. I was trying to go over Isaiah 53 today. At one time, I could run through those verses like it wasn't nothing, but it's still a blessing just to try. Amen. Listen, beloved, listen. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. You say, Pastor, how in the world does Isaiah 53 fit with what you're preaching? If you know your Bible, He's shedding His blood in the eyes of Isaiah before it ever happened. Jesus was going to die for you and die for me. Oh, beloved friend, what a blessing it is to know that He purchased us with His own blood. Let me give you this tonight, just a couple things and I'm done. And I told Brother Ralph, Brother Steve, I said, Brother Ralph, have you been paying attention Sunday night? I said, about halfway through the message, he would have just tagged me and said, sit down, preacher, I'll take over from here. Amen. I mean that, beloved. Listen, I fought to get through the message Sunday night. My strength is gone. But I'm going to tell you something right now. He said, Pastor, you'll die preaching. I can't think of a better way to die. I can't think of a better way to die than to die preaching the precious blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, it ought to stir us tonight to think about Him. Oh, beloved, listen, one more thing, couple things tonight maybe. You know, I see His blood rejected. You say, Pastor, why do people go to hell? I tell you why. Just like you and I came to a place of repentance, and you and I received that precious blood, there are those that reject, Brother Mike, the blood of Jesus. You say, Pastor, how do you know that in the Bible? Look what the Bible said. then answered all the people. This was just before Jesus was crucified. They said this, His blood be on us and on our children. Oh, dear God, tonight, I want you to know, beloved, tonight, if you reject the blood of Jesus, it don't matter what church you belong to, it don't matter what country you live in, if you reject the blood of Jesus, you'll bust hell wide open. Oh, beloved friend, they said His blood be on us and on our children. And what a dangerous thing tonight. But then we see in the Word of God, His blood received. Watch this tonight. The Bible said, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. You know, if somebody says something, well, the blood don't matter. Beloved, that's just a lie. The blood does matter. I tell you, there's three things that ought to encourage the church. That's the blood, the book, and the blessed hope. Amen. He's coming. Say amen. And He's coming for a blood-washed people. You know, there in the land of Egypt, He came through. The death angel came through. And God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. There's only one reason tonight. It ain't got nothing to do with preaching. It ain't got nothing to do with praying. It ain't got nothing to do with trying to be a good husband or a good daddy or a good papa. There's only one reason tonight that heaven will be my home. That's because when He sees the blood, He's going to pass over me. Amen. I do not have to go to hell because the blood of Jesus has been applied. By the way, I'll say this tonight. I've said it before from this pulpit. You remember the blood was to go here and here. It was not to go there. The blood was not made to be walked on, and it was not made to be walked over. But Jesus' blood is the passageway out of this life into heaven. Amen. The Bible talks about His blood. It's received. But then I want to give you this tonight. His blood is overcoming blood. I read in Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 10 today. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. There's these statements again pointing us to the blesser. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down. When I read this, Sister Jennifer, I thought about the song Hannah sings. It's under the blood. Oh, praise His dear name. That song starts out with the accuser. Who do you think you are? I ain't nobody. But what are you going to do with Him? He lives in me. Amen. Oh, thank God He does. The Bible said here, I heard a loud voice say it. Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You say, Pastor, he's busy. Yeah, but there's somebody busier than he is. Say amen. He's making intercession for us. Amen. With groanings that cannot be uttered. Look what the Bible said. How are you going to make it, Pastor? What are you going to do? What are these people in the Revelation going to do when they're accused before God day and night? Verse 11 said, And they overcame Him, glory to God, by the blood of the Lamb. Well, glory, amen. You say, Pastor, I just don't seem to be able to live in victory. I tell you, you get under the spout where the glory runs out. God said, I want some glory in the church. And there'll be glory in the church when we look to the blesser, whether we have a blessing or not, amen. He's still the same day after day. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Oh, beloved, they loved Him more than they loved life itself. And, beloved, they had a good testimony for the Lord. I'll give you this and I'm through tonight. When evangelist John Wesley, 1703 to 1791, he was returning home. I just kind of noticed there, he was living when the United States celebrated their independence, Brother Steve. I just now noticed that. He was returning home from a service one night, He was robbed. The thief, however, found his victim to only have a little money and some Christian literature. You know, if I was, you know, encouraging that thief, I would have encouraged him to stop down there and let him run an MRI on his head, because if you're going to rob somebody, make it somebody besides the preacher. Say amen. I'm telling you. The illustration said he found his victim have a little money and some Christian literature. As the bandit was leaving, Wesley called out. He said, "Stop! I have something more to give you." The surprised robber paused. He said, "My friend," he said, "you may live to regret this sort of life." He said, "If you ever do, here's something to remember. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." The thief hurried away, and Wesley prayed that his words might bear fruit. Years later, Wesley was greeting people after a Sunday service when he was approached by a stranger. What a surprise to learn that this visitor, now a believer in Christ and a successful businessman, was the one who had robbed him just years before. "I owe it all to you," said the transformed man. Wesley said, "Oh no, my friend, not to me, but to the precious blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin." Oh, tonight, friend, if you're blessed, it's because you have a blesser. And beloved, we owe it all to Jesus tonight, amen, the one that cleansed us from our sin. Beloved, don't take his blood for granted. You know, when we go on and we refuse to get something right in our life, we're taking his blood for granted. He wants to cleanse us. He wants to renew us. He wants to help us, amen. Listen tonight, I don't know where in the world God's going with this. If you look at the chapter, we're going to come back. The next thing we're going to look at, I can't wait to look at this. I was prepared to look at it tonight, but you know how it goes. Amen. You know, I told Brother Bob a while ago, I said, "Come over and eat with us at Oak Glen." I said, "They're going to sing a few songs. I'm going to preach about 20 minutes. He said, "No, you ain't." That's what he said. Amen. He said, "I done heard." He said, "You're a Pharaoh preacher. You won't let God's people go." That's what he said. Amen. But we're going to look at his good pleasure next. His glory. His calling. His inheritance. You know, we think about a lot about our inheritance. What about his? His power. His mighty power. His own right hand. His feet. His body. It's all right there in chapter number 1. And it's all about him. No wonder in chapter 3, Paul said, "Unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, world without end." How many's glad you come tonight?